From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message called Total Transformation, part of a series dealing with Romans chapter 8. The focus is on verse 9, in which the Apostle Paul shows how a person may know that he truly belongs to Christ. The text reveals that salvation is the work of the triune God. It contains references to all three persons of the Holy Trinity, and each has a role in the salvation of a soul. We've seen that the Father planned salvation, the Son purchased it, and the Holy Spirit applies it. This work of God produces a glorious deliverance for God's people, delivering the repentant sinner from a state of condemnation and alienation into a standing of acceptance before God. Instead of enmity against God, the redeemed soul now finds that he enjoys God's favor. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will continue the message. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from Morning and Evening, a collection from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. This morning's text comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 24. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Heaven is a place where we shall never sin, where we shall cease our constant watch against an indefatigable enemy, because there will be no tempter to ensnare our feet. There the wicked cease from troubling, and the weary are at rest. Heaven is the undefiled inheritance. It is the land of perfect holiness, and therefore of complete security. But do not the saints, even on earth, sometimes taste the joys of blissful security? The doctrine of God's word is that all who are in union with the Lamb are safe, that all the righteous shall hold on their way, that those who have committed their souls to the keeping of Christ shall find him a faithful and immutable preserver. Sustained by such a doctrine, we can enjoy security even on earth. Not that high and glorious security which renders us free from every slip, but that holy security which arises from the sure promise of Jesus, that none who believe in him shall ever perish, but shall be with him where he is. Believer, let us often reflect with joy on the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints, and honor the faithfulness of our God by a holy confidence in him. May our God bring home to you a sense of your safety in Christ Jesus. May he assure you that your name is graven on his hand, and whisper in your ear the promise, "Fear not, I am with thee." Look upon him, the great surety of the covenant, as faithful and true, and therefore bound and engaged to present you, the weakest of the family, with all the chosen race before the throne of God. And in such a sweet contemplation, you will drink the juice of the spiced wine of the Lord's pomegranate, and taste the dainty fruits of paradise. You will have an antepast of the enjoyments which ravish the souls of the perfect saints above, if you can believe with unstaggering faith that faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it.
Thank you.
The selection you have just heard is part of a CD entitled Our Song of Praise, featuring the piano artistry and arrangements of Joan J. Pinkston, who serves as pianist at Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. For over 40 years, Joan has taught music theory, hymn playing, and composition to thousands of Christian young people at Bob Jones University. During that time, she has sought to instill in them a Christ-centered view of sacred music. Joan's philosophy of sacred music is summed up in her words, "There is really no such thing as sacred music without words. It is the Word of God that draws a Christian closer to Christ. Only when biblical thoughts are expressed in words, as with a psalm, a hymn, or a spiritual song, can any music be considered sacred. When the message of the words and the impact of the music are in harmony, the greatest communication takes place." Our Song of Praise features 13 of Joan's arrangements of such favorite hymns as Jesus Paid It All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, and Be Thou My Vision. This beautiful and inspiring CD would make a wonderful Christmas gift for family and friends. Copies of Our Song of Praise may be obtained from Faith Free Presbyterian Church. The price is $15 per CD, which includes postage and handling. Simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. If you wish, you may write, "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Contact us today for your copy of Our Song of Praise.
The teaching here is this, that the believer's person and the believer's works are now pleasing and acceptable to God. There's no more condemnation. He's no longer under condemnation. He's accepted and acceptable. Let's deal with his person. The great text in this connection is Ephesians 1 verse 6, where we're told he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, and the Beloved is the Lord Jesus Christ. He has made us accepted in His Beloved Son. Now the word accepted there means He has graced us. It's not a very often used word as a verb. We don't normally talk about grace as a verb. But that's the force of it. He has graced us. What it means is, He has made us objects of His grace and favor. In His Beloved Son, He has made us objects of His grace and favor. We are no longer under condemnation. We are no longer under His wrath and curse. Now He says, I have made you in Christ, not because of what you have done, but because of what He has done. I have made you objects of my favor. But notice it's not just in Christ here. In Ephesians, those words, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, they appear again and again. But it's now in the Beloved. He's speaking not only of His Son, but of His Son as the object of His peculiar love. And He's saying, all the love then that I have for my Son, I open up that love to you, and I pour out upon you the very love that my Son commands by His life and by His obedience. That love of complacency, that love of acceptance, I give it to you without you having deserved it, because He deserved it. I accept your person. I let that sink in. This is what it means to be a Christian. No longer condemned, accepted of God. Not just forgiven. Yes, forgiven, but a whole lot more. Embraced in the arms of the Almighty and favored with the very love that He bears to His Son. Accepted. How often has the devil come raking up your past? How often has he brought up those dark scenes? How often has he told you you're just a thing? Not even worthy to be a person. You're just a thing. You're vile. You're rotten. You're worthless. You look at yourself. You bow your head and you feel the shame. But here the Scripture bids you look up and see the Beloved. See the Beloved. And God says, that's where I see you. I don't see you in your past. I don't look at you in your sin. I look at you in the Beloved. And I accept you. Your person. Your person. Accepted of God. And your works accepted of God. I have to confess, and I'm sure I'm not the only one here, I get very discouraged with my works. I get discouraged with my praying. I get discouraged with my studying. I get discouraged with my laboring. I get discouraged about my burden for souls. I get discouraged about my preaching. I get discouraged about anything that I do. I've often said, doesn't matter who has ever listened to me, I don't care how harshly they criticize the preaching. They'll never criticize it half as harshly as I criticize it myself. And that's not just some Uriah Heep experience. I get discouraged when I look at my works. And I've often wondered, how on earth am I ever going to stand before God? How can I ever present to God what these paltry little hands have done? And then I come to what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. The word acceptable is a beautiful word. It's actually three words. It's a word that means acceptable, and then it's got two prepositions stuck in front of it. Two little prefixes, should I say, not prepositions, prefixes stuck in front of it. One means well, and the other comes etymologically from the word for face, and it means with or toward. In this case, toward God. And you put the three together. The usage of the word has the idea of something that is very heartily received by another. Now read the text. You're lively stones, you're built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices that are very heartily received by God through Jesus Christ. What a statement. How often have you been on your knees and you got up discouraged? How poor I am at praying. There's a man at God's right hand who takes the sincere yet feeble efforts of his people And with the very much incense, as Revelation 8 puts it, the very much incense of his own perfect merit, he lifts up that praying to him. And God very heartily receives it. How often you've gone witnessing and the devil says, you know, you'd be better giving up. You're just a fool. You don't know the right words. If you had said the right words, that fellow would have been saved. If you had made the right arguments, that fellow would have been saved. You'd be better giving up because you really aren't very good at this. Remember what I said, salvation is God's work. It's not the result of an argument. God can use you and he will use you. But listen, you serve him. And when you've done your best, Jesus said, look, you're only unprofitable servants. God doesn't use us because it profits him to do so. You're unprofitable servants. If God wanted the best servants, would he not send angels and archangels? But he doesn't. He sends sinners saved by grace. He sends you and he sends me. And when you're offering up your service to God, Jesus takes it. And he wraps it up in the garment of his own perfection. And through Christ, it's made heartily acceptable to God. Let me tell you, we're no longer condemned. In the flesh, man cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh. You and your works are now pleasing to God in the Beloved and through the merits of God's dear Son. But not only does the Holy Spirit bring us to Christ and remove the condemnation, he removes the alienation. Look at verse 7. The carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The carnal mind is enmity against God. The mind of the flesh, but you're not in the flesh. In other words, the enmity is removed. Go back to Romans chapter 5 and see how the apostle puts it there. In verse 10 and verse 11. He says, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. That's what happened. There was a time when in the flesh your whole soul was enmity against God. You remember last week I said that word carried two ideas in it, hatred and hostility. Those are the two elements in enmity against God, hatred and hostility. They marked you in your unconverted state. But he says, when you were enemies, when you were full of hatred and you were full of hostility, here's the miracle of sovereign grace. We were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. The end of verse 11, we read that by Christ or through Christ, we have now received the atonement or the reconciliation. Reconciliation is not just a peace treaty. It's not just a cessation of hostilities. Reconciliation takes you from a place of enmity to a place of amity. It takes you from being full of hate to being full of love. It takes you from being a hostile person to being the friend of God. What a beautiful statement that is. Friend of God. That's what God called Abraham. And we are the children by faith of faithful Abraham. The friend of God. It means that sure, the wrath is gone, the condemnation's gone, but it also means the alienation has gone, and it has been replaced by this closeness and fellowship and friendship. You see, according to Hebrews 2:17, Christ came to reconcile his people to God. This is why he came. This is why he became a man. It behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a faithful and merciful high priest in things pertaining to God. What does the high priest do? To make reconciliation for the sins of the people. That's why he came. And he didn't fail, because by his death he did secure that reconciliation. I love how Paul puts it in Colossians 1. If you read from verse 20 to 22, you read that the Lord Jesus made peace through the blood of his cross. He made peace. Understand that. That's not speaking of a sense of serenity in your soul. That comes down the line. This is not saying Christ produces a sense of serenity. He does, and he will. But what this is talking about is peace with God. Romans 5:1, therefore, being or having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. He has made peace with God for us. The war's over. The long war against God by your soul, it's over. That's what he's telling you. He goes on to say, you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. He succeeded in reconciling us to God. And there's no other way to be reconciled to God, because Ephesians 2:16 says that he might reconcile both, that is, Jews and Gentiles, unto God in one body, by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. There is no other way but by the blood of Jesus Christ, whereby either Jew or Gentile can be reconciled with God. Now that's a very serious statement, and that's something that Paul is going to come back to when we get to the end of this text. But understand this. Apart from the atoning death of Christ, apart from the application by the Holy Spirit of the merits of the blood of Christ, you cannot be reconciled to God. You cannot be reconciled to God by emulating this so-called spirit of Christ, this living by the characteristics of Christ. You cannot be reconciled to God by seeking to follow the example of Jesus. You cannot be reconciled to God by trying to live out the principles of the Sermon on the Mount. You cannot be reconciled to God by trying to keep the Ten Commandments. You cannot be reconciled to God by anything but the blood of Christ's atonement.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.